Welcome to Sense, Sensibility, and Chaos, where fictional characters live rent-free in our heads, and we will never let them move out.
I am busy. I may have planned a trip to Middle-earth to see if Sam would be at the Green Dragon.
I'm well-read. I still think about Beth from Little Women at least once a month. I'm not well.
And I'm Tall Girl. I haven't been able to rewatch Anne of Green Gables since Jonathan Crombie died. Oh my god. I took it personally, like he left me. Honestly, I might still be in mourning.
Well, you okay?
I literally just choked!
I know!
Aww.
I don't even want to continue with the intro. Today's episode is all about the fictional characters that shaped us, the ones that we wish we could forget, and the ones that we've gotten so attached to, we might wish we lived in their world.
Whether you'd like to live in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy timeline, or just plain not in the one that we found ourselves in, this episode is for you.
So grab a homebrew of your favorite mead and let's jump into why we get so attached to fictional characters.
Oh, I think we need to do a wellness check before we go on. Were you okay there?
Dude, I can still remember being in the office when the notice of, like, Anne of Green Gables' character died, and I was like...
Girl, we were in the car together. We were in New York City.
Is that where we were?
No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We were driving. She was in the front. I was in the back. And I think I got it on a notification. And we were in traffic. It was nighttime. No, I don't remember all the details. And
how he died story came through at the office. I remember, like, I shut my door and I cried. And I was just like, what do you mean he passed away? People were like, he was so nice on the bus on the way down. We didn't notice right away. And I was like... For an actor I never met, was only ever in the same country with accidentally and didn't even know it.
So this is not a fictional character, however.
But he played the greatest fictional character.
He did.
I think it was just because in my head I saw the movie first and then I read the books, and in my head I convoluted the two, and he became my forever boyfriend. Like, just...
Well, he should.
Listen, Gilbert Blythe is unparalleled. There is no other character that I can think of the many, 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 many books I've read, to which can be compared to Gilbert Blythe. Like, there's no...
A friend of mine was doing a study with a group of women from our church, and they did Anne of Green Gables, and it's been over three, four months. Most of the women have never seen it, never read the books. So I know. So they went through the whole thing from, like, all three. They even did that continuing one. And they got to a point, and they were talking about the actors, and she waited until the end of the second movie to explain that Jonathan had died. And we're now at the point where chatting with her and one of our other friends, we'll say stuff, and the friend who's new to the Anne world is still catching on. It's not as... like the way the three of us are, with it's just in our lingo. But we're like, we know this inside out. I'm like, I specifically remember I was in sixth grade when my friend at the time introduced me to this. She's like, have you ever heard of Anne of Green Gables? I'm like, no, what's that? And then we watched it, and my life was forever changed.
I was 10, and my mom gave me her books from when she was a little girl. So I got to read those before I saw the...
Yeah, one of the women, I think, in the group has grandchild, and she's so excited because she's going to be bringing this now to her granddaughter to read and meet. And I never read all of them. I think I maybe started the first one, and then I just never did because the movie was just so perfect. So that's one of my to-do things, is go and read the book and fall in love. But I did see there is a good book, and I told Will read about this, called Marilla of...
Marilla of Green Gables.
It was a recent book, and it is written about Marilla from when she was younger, and it is really well done.
It is very well done, I have to say.
Very well done. And if any readers or listeners are out there who are Anne fans, I highly recommend reading that one. It was well incorporated into the books. But who else has left an impression on you that...
I will say, I thought I was going to be best friends with Laura Ingalls Wilder. Like, I figured when we grew up, someday we would just meet on the street and I would be besties with her. I would then explain to her why you didn't need to get excited about an orange for Christmas. Like, really, I wanted to meet her to explain the reprioritization of Christmas expectations, but like, it explains why I just want to move to Vermont and live in a woodlot cabin. Like,
No. I think you're confusing things. She didn't do. Did she do Little Women?
Little
That
House on the Prairie.
was Little House on the Prairie. Yeah, Lauren Ingalls Wilder was Little House on the Prairie.
But she wrote it in Vermont.
No, but I'm not moving to the states that don't like women and their reproductive organs.
Okay,
So, Mons it is.
got it. I thought we were confusing Little Women, and I was confused for a moment, but that's fair.
No, like baby boom without the baby, and a local vet who just can't wait for me to be strong, independent, and dominate the food baby business.
What about you, Red?
Well, this will come as a surprise to nobody but Fox Mulder and Dana Scully.
Hold the phone.
What? How have we been friends this long?
You're
You're right.
I need somebody quick.
Let's see, who else? Superman and Lois Lane live rent-free in my head. Although I do make them work for it. Belgarian from the Belgariad and his motley crew of friends and family. I mean, I have such lists. So many characters live rent-free in my head.
I think for me, I would probably say Lucy Ricardo. I'm a very big I Love Lucy fan. And so, not necessarily like how the time was. I think it's that I love the 50.
The screwball aspect of it. Screwball comedies are hard to come by now and nowadays, so yeah, that's totally
Lot
understandable.
of ways and classic.
And it all gets wrapped up in 25 minutes, and
God love them.
yeah.
But also, she makes that work look effortless. It's like a Ginger Rogers kind of like, if you look back at it now, you're like, yeah, we can't do this because nobody wants to put the work in. At a time when people were like, oh, she's a dumb female, she made Lucille Ball, or sorry,
Lucy
Ricardo.
Ricardo.
She made her effortless and lovable. And so much work went into it that, like, as you get older, you're like, holy crap.
Yeah,
Like
absolutely.
Golden Girls. Like, all of us saw it growing up, and we all saw the reruns, and it was like, oh, okay. And now it's like, life goals. Hashtag life goals.
Absolutely. Yeah, those are four, well, f five more characters that live rent-free in my head. Lucy Ricardo is another one
I watched
from my
Designing Women in
childhood.
COVID, which I didn't
Oh,
see.
so good.
Those women are so ahead of their damn time, and like, I will put you in your place. This is how life should be. Like, I would rather lose business than deal with your racist behind. Like, that should be required watching for
I have to look for that. I mean, I
everybody.
love it, but I've never watched it. No,
Watching
it
it
really holds
now
up.
and realizing it came out in the 80s, 90s, like when this was not nearly as cool for them to be this bold, outspoken. Like now it's like, oh, of course, yeah, women would be like, girl, get your. No. Sadly, though, a lot of the topics are like, oh, we still don't accept the gay community. I'm like, oh, good God, are we still living this?
Any characters from movies that you think, like actual movies, not movies necessarily based on books or.
Look, I don't think there's a female on Earth who doesn't have a special place for Jake Ryan. 16 Candles, Jake Ryan?
Oh, yeah, I don't.
No. No, I never.
I never
Okay,
really watched
when I
that.
was younger, and now it's problematic, and that was also a breakup to be like, oh, yes, he did sell his girlfriend for a six pack of beer and a ride home. I'm like, oh my God. I had a babysitter who showed me like Breakfast Club, 16 Candles, like whatever. And then as an adult, you're like, oh, the problems. Oh, the problems. And then Molly
Molly
Ringwald came
Ringwald,
out with that New
yeah.
Yorker article, and she was like, oh, let me break down for you how bad it is.
No, those weren't.
No, I never got into Jake Ryan either.
If some dude pulls up in rolled jeans And just like an overcompensation red Corvette something or other. You might never see me again. Just know it doesn't take a like a sketchy van and some like good chocolate. Just some rolled jeans and an Argyle sweater.
This is a very completely out of the box. I think for me, I have a lot of like some of the movies that when I was a child that my family would watch to stop me to calm down and like either sit still or go to sleep. So like,
Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
oh yes, that wasn't one.
Adam Pontopi.
Oh, Benjamin.
Benjamin?
He's not a dancer, but that's fine. We could dance other ways. I'm just saying, but he is so good looking in that, and he was like one of the actors who was not a dancer. But I'm saying young. I'm talking like 5, 6. So like Mary Poppins.
Bedknobs and
Oh,
Broomsticks. You were
so
gonna say Barney, and then I'm like,
no.
I got questions.
Obviously, these movies were before my, well, years before my time, but Mary
They're
Poppins
classic.
is on repeat. Bedknobs and Broomsticks with Angela Lansbury. Darby O'Gill and the Little People with Shauna Connor. I think that's, could explain why I have a thing for like Irish British accents. But I also, when you look at some of the females in all those movies, I don't understand how my family missed that I would be so opinionated and pushing. I'm like, did you not see the movies you made me watch? Like, this is drilled into my head. I could recite these lines without even being near a TV or having them play. And you are surprised that I'm opinionated, outspoken, and quite hard-headed. My God, that is an epic fail on your part. But some of the women in those movies, like Mary Poppins, was like, yeah, I'm gonna come in and fix things. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, sorry. Another little moment of myself of like, this explains some of me. But
Your
she
urge to dose people with spoonfuls of morphine?
no, not so much that, but just the, all right, I'm coming in and just, I'm gonna take charge of this. Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry, listeners. That was a self-realization moment. But like Katie was a very, she was a daughter and her aging parent, she was just taking charge of the household and what he needed to do. And Angela Lansbury plays a very, what's her name? Something. Oh, I forget her name. It'll come to me. But she, again, very take charge. And when you think about when those movies were recorded, it's kind of like a little, I mean, in Mary Poppins, you have Mrs. Banks singing about, though we adore
Suffrage.
individually, we agree that as a group, they're rather stupid.
They're rather stupid.
Like, very ballsy for like sick late 60s and all. So, yeah, those are some of the characters who are a comfort to me from my childhood. So it has nothing to do with, romance or like perfect guys. They just were like wrong. And also from Pete's Dragon, Nora. I think her name was Nora. Nora, who is,
Some of your influences there.
yeah, all strong women. So surprising.
I've watched a lot of those same movies, so I guess we
Pippi
have that in common.
Longstocking, because she always went on like crazy ass adventures, but never, like, it always worked out in some way. And I'm just like, how does she never really actually get in trouble? It's always like, oh, isn't she cute? She saved the world. Like, but when I do it, the fire department gets called. Explain. Explain.
Eglantine Price, Miss Price was Angela.
A galantine, I think. A galantine.
Yeah, I'm butchering that. Sorry to anyone who has that name that I butchered that for you. I will work on.
But that's a good point, is like some of the stuff that you watch when you're a kid hits harder than the stuff that you watch when you're an adult. Like those things that found you in your formative years somehow changed you and informed the person that you are today.
I'm pretty much convinced that when I did band in grade school, I wanted to do the violin, but they didn't have that. And I think I wanted to do the violin because In Darby O'Gill, they play the fiddle, but I ended up with the flute, which would make sense because I also, my parents played a lot of reruns of H.R. Puffin stuff. He has a magic flute. Listen, my childhood had some weird out of the like box movies that were just played for me. So explain.
In fairness, the movies that were made before we were born were highly influenced by substances. So, what was available to watch, for free reruns on whatever network daytime TV?
This is true.
I.
This is very true.
Yeah.
So why do we think that people get attached to fictional characters? Instead
Because
of,
they're perfect.
people name their children after them. They have displays in their rooms, or the houses. They have tattoos. They go on retreats where you act out. You have the Bridgerton kind of balls and all. Like, why do people get so attached?
You want to answer that with your book-themed tattoo? Are you asking this question of yourself? Like, ooh, let me set myself up for the perfect answer, seeing as I have one on my body.
But that tattoo will be replaced as the author has become a complete
Problematic.
asshole. But that works too.
Yes.
Problematic works as well. That is getting
Yeah.
redone.
Yep.
So we're not going to discuss that one. But in general,
I think that fictional characters are in some ways our very first friends. They are non-judgmental of us.
oh, we might judge the hell out of them.
We might judge the hell out of them, but although that typically comes later with discernment. But when we play with them in our heads, or when we do whatever, we develop an attachment. So what ends up happening as we get older is that we just keep forming these kind of parasocial relationships and having emotional projections onto fictional characters. It allows us to feel safer in a lot of ways than the real world might.
I think
They
there's
will never
also.
leave you. They will never grow old. You can pick them up and put them down at your leisure. Like, Gilbert is forever 21 years old.
And
Forever.
unconditionally loving.
I think there's also a sense of depending on where you grew up and how you grew up. So, I grew up in the New Jersey, New York area, but I was not living in Ireland. Where Darby O'Gill was, or in the New England area for Pete's Dragon, so it transports you there. Depending on the type of book and or
You can have a little adventure.
the world, it might have magic in it. It might have fantasy, so you could pretend that you are have a protector dragon who helps you out when you need. And for sometimes there are people, they're just their personal life sucks. And this is somewhere to escape to where for all the reasons that you two both mentioned, like it's safe, you know what to expect, you know what you're gonna get. Even if it's based, I think, sometimes on like real life, and you know what's gonna happen within that time. Like Sound of Music, yes, is obviously based off of the real Mon traps, but obviously there's a huge adjustment to what the actual story is. But we know in that movie that how they got away, what happened, and that, went well, not how it truly happened, but for that particular way. So, I mean, that's a little bit off to it, but I'm just thinking, like, in some ways, this is how my characters are living on, this is how they survive, this is.
Yeah, I think there's also having those same experiences as other people. It allows you re to relate to people around you as well because you had the same experience watching those things.
The hand flex.
Oh, the hand flex.
The fact that, what is that show that just came out with something Goody, Matthew Goody?
Matthew Good.
Oh, Department Q.
And there's that there's a clip that goes on and his hand is outside the couch. I haven't watched the show yet, but he has a slight hand flex, and I mean, someone knew what they were doing. The flex heard around the world.
Well, it's people like us who've had what, Pride and Prejudice is 20 years old now, so like that's a generation that grew up probably on their mom watching the hand flex, and now they get to make their own hand flex shows as, you know, the homage too. I mean, like growing up, Harold and the Purple Crown, Indian in the Cupboard kind of things, like make your own kind of like you can create
Light at
the
the end of the
adventure. You don't
forest.
have to sit around and wait for an adventure to come to you. You make it.
Here's a good one. Hook with
Hook.
Robin Williams.
Yep. Johnny Tremaine. Did anybody else read Johnny Tremaine in like 7th and 8th grade?
No.
Oh.
I swear to God, we grew up like 25 miles from each other, but like I don't
I
know what
mean,
was going on where.
listen, we were reading Of Mice and Men at the same time as Johnny Tremaine. We were reading Of Mice and Men in literature and Johnny Tremaine in history class, and I had an excellent education. When I tell you the education that I had was, I redid some of the stuff in high school. Like I had to reread some of the same stuff in high school that I had already read in
Grammar
middle
school.
in grammar school because we were that far advanced in our education. So
I got in trouble because most of the story time books, like in the younger grades, I had already read. So it's like, it's story time. We're going to read you The Golden Cow. I'm like, oh my God, I have read this like 4,000 times. Like, why don't I just read it for you? You can go take a cigarette break. I'll be here. She's like, your daughter really does follow along. My mom's like, yeah. There's probably not a story she hasn't heard already, so good luck to you.
what is a character that you would protect at all costs? I'm trying to think of a character that maybe dies in the book, the movie, the series, whatever.
Primrose Everdeen.
Really?
I don't. Like in Lovely Bones, I sobbed during the first two
Oh,
chapters of that. Like
I can't.
book club, I was just shattered. They were like, okay, and I inevitably read the book like 3 days before book club, but like I would love to protect her, but at the same time, that is not a book. If I protect her at all costs, it's like in
Yeah,
the
it doesn't
moment I
turn out
probably would have
well
said
for her.
yes, and then by the end of the book, it's like, okay, but in a weird way. I don't know if I would protect anybody. There are ones that I am protective of when somebody's like, oh my God, I hate that book. And I'm like, what is fundamentally wrong with you? Like, you must be a psychopath. Like, it's just, how could you not?
I was just having a discussion with a friend this week about Secret Garden. And
Oh,
that's and
there's another one.
the same group that's doing that did Anne of Green Gables will be doing the Secret Garden next. And she was gonna incorporate the movie aspect, and I was talking about the Maggie Smith version. So she downloaded the movie and she's like, I don't understand how you watch it. So she's watching this and she's going on, and at the last like 15-20 minutes, she calls me up and she said, I just realized that despite the fact that I put this in the search for me to purchase that movie, it gave me like a 1970s version and Maggie Smith is not in this. She goes, I was really considering that there's something wrong with you because this acting is so horrible. I was like, oh my God, I don't know how you could hate this version. Everyone loves the Maggie Smith, like what is it, 93, 97, something in that range. That is
Matt and the Little Princess from that time range.
a good one.
I will say so, like Anne of Green Gables from the 80s versus Anne with an E. When people are like, oh my God, Anne with an E is like life defining, and I'm like, Gilbert went on a ship and shoveled coal to the what? No.
I don't
I would
even.
protect 1983, 85. I don't know when it came out. I would protect that. I would protect her with my life. If we never made another Anne anything, I would be okay.
Know what I actually had a thought of? What it would be like if hold yourself, I'm not suggesting they do this, but if they redid that, but where Megan Follows kind of portrays either like Marilla or
She is coming back for something. There was some announcement, and I forget what it is, and it's been in the back of my brain all day. But she is, they're doing another Anne of Green Gables, but somehow she's a part of it. So I'm like, I think she might.
I'm
It
saying,
will kill my soul that she's like, I don't know, 35, 40 in real life, and she's about to play Marilla, which I think will strike
she's
pain and
older than
suffering in
that.
my
She's
soul.
older than that.
She's closer to 50.
She's grounded.
Megan Follows has to be what, 50,
Hold
70?
on, she's got to be
hold
50
on,
something.
hold on. Paul, girl,
Don't.
I'm going to hold both your hands while I throw this
If
brick
she's in her
straight at your
60s, I'm going to lose my mind.
I'm going to hold, listen, hold me. Stay with me here.
Okay.
Marilla is 52 when Anne arrives, and Matthew is 60. Megan is currently 57.
I just told you 57.
Oh my God, that was like a pterodactyl. So I listen, I kissed the brick before I throw it, and I covered it in like cotton and soft.
On our next episode, my emotional trauma. It's just going to be me heavy breathing and crying.
I put it in a squishmallow before I threw it at you, but I did throw it
Oh
with
my God.
purpose. She's
Like in my head, I know, but
and
also
I
she
said
was also on
57.
an episode of like Law and Order SVU, and I was just like, no, just no, you weren't. And I get it, like actors get typecast. I think because it was so beloved and it was just so well done, it's like Pride and Prejudice. Like there are people who just have the attachment to like that version because it was, you couldn't have asked kind of for more. It just hit right. If you had called Anne with an E, just like redheaded girl on a Prince Edward Island, like redheaded girl on an island who got adopted, I would have been fine with it. The fact that you tried to like,
It wasn't, it was okay the first season and all. But I get your opinion. Another one who I love, and again, there's a theme here with me. Maggie Smith in Downton Abbey as a Dowager. Flipping love her character. And you didn't watch it or you don't want
I've seen like four episodes of Downton Abbey ever.
to? Okay,
Wow.
that's fine.
I don't I want to be
You
part of
wanted
that
to like
world,
it?
but like I don't know if I just didn't get into it at the right time or something, but I'm like,
I don't connect to like the whole glamorized royal and that I don't connect because that's not what does it. It's the characters for me. So Maggie is just constantly spitting out
truth and
humor.
fire.
Oh my God, is it glorious?
Just
And
like her body of work,
what is
she's
a
always
weekend?
been.
Oh, the stuff she says, and I think also because, though I may not have displayed it on the podcast, both of you would probably attest that tends to be my tone and sometimes very, just random fire might come out. So,
Oh, I would protect Schmidt from New Girl.
never watched that show.
Oh, yeah. I love
Because he's
Schmidt.
just so perfectly whatever, like I never want reality to bust his bubble.
The payoff for Schmidt's character is some of the best payoff that you get, especially in modern television. It is 100% worth the watch.
I just
Like
need
every
him to say chut
Jess
to
and
me
everybody
for
else
the
are
rest of my
chut to
life.
me, yes. Jess and everybody else are great. It's an exceptional show, really great ensemble work, but Schmidt's character is where the
I feel
payoff
like
really
everybody
happens.
else is attached to Friends, and I'm like, no, New Girl.
I enjoyed it when it was on. It's just, it's something I know pretty well, but not to the point that I was at when I was younger.
I watched it on an airplane. I guess it must have just been whatever. And I was like, sure, I'll watch this, whatever. He had been in Veronica Mars, and I just was like, oh, okay, I know his face. Like, I'll watch this, whatever. So I think I got like five episodes in before I landed.
Me
First
too.
thing I did at the hotel room was like internationally try to download New Girl on like, you're in Netflix UK, you can't do this. And I'm like, no. Like the flight home was another 12 episodes. By the time I got home, I was like, nobody bother me. I will be watching New Girl. There
What
was
about,
another one.
so I'm just doing a quick look of like top fictional characters. And we've done some, James Bond, Batman, Elizabeth Bennet, Superman.
Clark Kent, I stand Clark Kent forever.
Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer. This is a varied list.
But I also think it's so very dependent on the person.
Oh, of course.
Like, I mean, some people are like, oh, it's the greatest literary writing. I'm like, it's great writing, but like, okay.
Oh, of course.
Like, you know, girls tend to drift more towards Nancy Drew and boys are like Hardy Boys, but I'm like, Nancy wanted to solve things and care. The Hardy Boys just always seem to have assistance from other people. Like, oh,
True.
we'll look into it, but you have done my laundry. I was like, takes two of you to do what Nancy does in one book.
Have you guys ever planned your day or weekend around a fictional person's fate? Finding out like what happened to them, for example.
Like the final
Like a new book
episode,
is coming out. yeah.
yeah.
Okay, nowadays more because you know, like it used to just be like a new book is launching in April by this author. Like it never used to be this specific, and now there's like the Netflix countdown to like April 10th, all the episodes.
That's
Yeah,
true.
there
That's true.
definitely have been books, or especially with books, when I think I'm coming to the end, or it's the last book in a series. And you just kind of hole up, you're like, I know there's going to be something that goes, sideways, and
Terribly awry.
I'm just going to have to emotionally brace myself.
I also don't love it when I will go out of my way to read the books first because if the TV show like isn't good, I'm not gonna be happy. Like True Blood, season one, bad makeup, but like season one was pretty close, and then it just went HBO, and I'm like, oh, thank the Lord I read the books first. Otherwise, I never would have picked up a single book.
I didn't read that
So
one.
like whenever they come out with like movies coming out this fall based on books, I'm like, must read these books in advance. Even if I don't watch the film for another 10 years, I'm like, okay, the book is in my head, so I can live with this.
What was, oh, damn it, it's gonna be the Mortal Instruments.
Mortal Instruments.
So I had been reading those, and then the movie came out, and that was bad. And then the series came out, and that was better. But then there's another one. Oh, damn it.
No, there are two series.
No, there's another book series I'm thinking of that
Oh.
I had been reading. Oh, Beautiful Creatures. And the movie came out, and I'm so mad because I think Viola Davis is in it. And they just screwed it up, and I got so mad. Like, the book was on a digital reader. But I mentally threw the book at a wall when I saw that movie because it just ruined. I was like, one more book I had to read, and it that hadn't come out yet. And I was so flipping mad at how they did everything wrong. And I just couldn't. I'm like, nope, I can't. I'm gonna have to reread the series to try and do it and get back into it. But
I am convinced there are times that somebody just reads the synopsis on the back of the book and then writes the screenplay. Like they don't like
They
it,
don't
they don't
actually
love
read the
it, they
book.
haven't read it. Like the sections they choose that are meaningful, you're like, this was like less than a paragraph in the book. Why are we enjoying 15 minutes of this film scene? But also because my brain works that way, I create pictures in my head of what the characters look like, and I also create voices for them. Not that Judi Dench doesn't narrate my life for me,
As well,
but when
she.
actors don't live up to it, I'm just like,
Like,
oh
oh,
no,
I don't.
no, you're nowhere near where you should be.
The voices don't happen. I do create the image of the person, the world that they're in. I can, like, I as I'm reading it, it's like there's like a story going on in my head, like a film. Is there any death or plot twist of a character, not the actor? We've already dealt with that one today. That you are angry about, or you feel there was justice for.
Oh, there are so many character deaths that I'm angry about.
Okay, go.
Matthew? Well, Matthew, yes. One of them I won't talk about again because the author has become incredibly asshole-ish. For that one, I actually threw a book.
That's fine.
I threw a book across the room
That's fair.
in order to deal with that particular death. And it's probably not the one that people would think it is, but anyway. Like I said, Primrose Everdeen. That was really, really sad for me.
I'll say with the Downton Abbey when they wrote off Matthew's character.
Well,
How
he wanted Dan
he
Stevens
wanted
wanted to go.
no, and that's
Wanted
fine.
to go.
But how it was done was just
Yeah, that was gut-wrenching.
brutal. and how it would like the I will try and keep it vague, but that was brutal. That was one. I'm trying to think of other characters.
Padme. Justice for Padme.
Oh, wow. Yes, I agree. I agree with that one. That was a they did her dirty there. I didn't know she had to die, obviously, but how about it went?
She died because sad. No, she died because it was shitty writing.
Well, also people say that it was really Anakin drawn, not Anakin.
Well, that's a fan theory.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, Palpatine draining her life force deliberately. That's a fan theory.
Either way, shitty. Is there any character you wanted to like, but couldn't?
Yeah. There are books that I can't even remember their names, but there are books that I have put completely away because I just can't get into the characters, or I refuse to. I know you're gonna say Eleanor Oliphant. Yeah, I know.
This is just the book of our lives. It's
Yes,
okay. It's a
we
book
have.
that defines you that I was like, this is the most annoying thing I've ever
It
read ever.
doesn't define me. It described me at a specific point in my life.
Oh my gosh. Here's a literary version. Ugh, it sucked.
Wasn't
And we
that
recovered from that.
I couldn't connect to it, and then when I understood her connection to it,
I
all
will say that did help.
it did help, but then I went completely me and wanted to understand why don't I have depression to understand what my friends and families who might experience that go through. And she looked at me like I was losing my mind. But emotions, I feel them all. So like so that was a character definitely I could not connect to at all.
I think the characters who end up like the chicks in horror films who are always like, you know where the story is leading because the writing is just so obvious. And they're like, oh my gosh, I wonder what will happen if I date this terrible person. And you're like, death. Death will happen. How do you not see this?
What's her name? Twilight Girl.
Bella?
Oh,
Yeah.
Bella?
Like, girl.
Twilight and 50 Shades fall into the very similar category of like.
That's because 50 Shades is Twilight fan fiction.
Correct.
Oh my God. Oh no, he can't read. He can read everybody's thoughts but mine.
It's the whole, oh my God, my life is over and everything, like I think it's the whole thing, the whole series takes place within what, like a year and a half? Like, girl, you go from just meeting someone to married and obsessed, like
I would die for love 15 minutes in. Like,
Wait, here's
what?
a one. Here's an old one, but you know, you may have heard of this one. Romeo and Juliet, those two
No.
kids, F them.
Those two nitwits.
Like, I'm like, oh my God, it's a romance. No, these idiots deserve, like, you're stupid.
No, this is two one percenters who were, raised in bubble wrap, who had a bump in their road.
Get out of here with this crap. Like, you
When
know,
people are like it's the greatest love story of our time, I'm like,
I'm not willing to.
you drastically, drastically, drastically changed what Shakespeare meant by killing off two teenagers, guys. It's not the greatest love story in the world.
Our
It's a
love story
fucking
is like Romeo
tragedy.
and Juliet. I'm like, do you want to finish that thought of what that really means?
Also, kind of
You
now,
live forever.
as an adult, looking back and being like, yeah, Ariel's father was right. Like, calm your fins, lady. Like, you're 16 and wanting to like go live on land with someone we don't know really. Like, get out of here.
So I got like the German version of the fairy tales, like the Grimm version. So like the Disney ones, when people are like, this is so hopeful. I'm like, have you guys?
No, we didn't.
What the Little Mermaid is that like
Hans
Oscar Wilde?
Christian Andersen, Hans Christian Andersen and his Tales of Terror.
Yeah, mostly to warn women. But like, yeah,
Yep.
they can get it.
Well, the Princess and the Frog, I'm like, do you know what the original version is? That is not cute. That is so not cute.
Have to go deep dive on that one and probably be traumatized.
Some homework for our listeners. Look up the original version of The Princess and the Frog.
Welcome to trauma.
Or any fairy tale, actually.
There's a
Yeah,
reason I
pretty
eat
much any
bread
fairy
logs. Like frog legs, it's payback for that little
tale.
cost. The French had it right.
Oh, there's another fictional character that lives on in my head rent-free, Kermit.
Oh.
Mr.
Kermit should be
Rogers.
protected at all costs from his abuser, Miss Piggy.
Mr.
Absolutely.
Rogers, we can keep him.
Yes,
I
Mr.
know he
Rogers
was
is
an
another great.
actor, but he portrayed a
Oh,
character.
LeVar Burton. He's still alive, but protected at all costs.
Yes. Read all the books. But
That
yeah.
man read me so many beautiful stories. To this day.
How do you deal with letting go of certain characters, especially those that you may have been, they were so instrumental, so pivotal, whatever the description you want to use to your childhood. And as you grew up, either what they were has changed you, or what you needed at the time, you don't need from them anymore, or you realize maybe they're problematic if it was a movie or so. Like, how do you come to terms with that? Or like, Red and I have had a problem with a specific author. Like, how do you come to terms with having to let go of something that was such a part of your life?
I've had problems with more than one author, first of all. Authors tend to be terrible people.
We will bleep that out later.
Sorry.
No, I think that would be appropriate. Some of them really are
No, 100%. I'm just saying.
not in
The F
the
word, the F bomb
hell
she's
of
talking about.
wow.
What she said was the, but so go on. You were saying several writers have become disappointments.
Yeah, I mean, so when I was about 12, I was going through a really tough period, and a woman that my mother worked with gave me this book series, and I read this book series cover to cover like 6 times in a row. The characters in that story literally saved my life in a number of ways. And as I got older and reread it, I noticed some things that were a little off.
Make you stop.
Things that made me stop and think. Yeah. And then I found out that the author had adopted and abused children. And all of a sudden, a lot of the things that I had noticed that were a little off in the stories made a lot of sense. And I firmly believe that characters are like people. They come into our lives when we need them, and they can be let go when they no longer serve who we are becoming. Like
Do you
it's easier to let them go, I think, in a lot of ways than actual people, but it's still. You can take your lessons from them and say thank you and let go.
if the character wasn't problematic, but either the author, the actor who betrayed it, the director, or the person who wrote this, the series or movie or anything, if they're the ones that are problematic, is it still a different, is it still as hard as a step in way to, like, compared to the situation you described? Like, if the character didn't do anything wrong, if Gilbert Blythe,
Yeah. So
I
a lot of the characters in these books didn't do anything, right? If it was found out that Lucy Maud Montgomery was some terrible person,
shut your hypothetical mouth.
her
Shut your
today.
hypothetical mouth. Choose anybody else.
We are just lobbing bricks at her today. My God.
I would have less difficulty letting go than you might imagine. I feel as though you learn something from a situation and you move on from it as best as you can. You might hold a little grudge here and there. I think that's perfectly healthy.
I think I'd
Holding a
take
little
it for
grudge,
what it
but.
was at the time. Like art, I mean, pretty much everything about art is problematic. So if you're going to kill off the characters and the music and the whatever that came before because of problematic, you are left staring at a blank wall. And even that, the inventor of paint is probably problematic. So like you can't even look at the paint on a blank wall. I tend to just pick them up like, okay, this is a pebble on a beach, like the fact that the beach is now toxic. Like it is what it is for the time or the place. yes, the musician, yes, the painter, yes, the author might have been terrible, but like this is what I'm going to take from it. I'm going to take the good from it. Like I've gone back and read the bodice rippers that, like all the moms used to read and we used to sneak and read. When you go back and read 1990 something and you're like, wow, oh, we were okay with so much. But I was like, at the time, like I love the character for whatever. I'm good with that in that little encapsulated moment. I'm choosing not to see the rest around it because you can't. There's so much that is problematic to find a decent author. But even then, even if they were decent in 1914, by today's standards,
Are they different?
they're problematic.
Yeah. So you keep them in a box, and the time
Kind of.
read it, the time in which they wrote it.
I think it's why I work so hard. Like, you guys are like fans of the author and the book. I tend to try to not get to know the creators. I will look at their work and I will keep their work separate from them because as soon as I forget, somebody, there was some author and everybody's like, you need to read him, you need to read him. I'd seen an interview he did. He just gave me every creepy vibe. I never read one of his books. Now he's problematic, but I'm like, I tend to try to keep it separate. Besides the fact that I have little fascination with celebrities to start with, I'm like, I don't want to know. I don't want to know because you could destroy something that could be great otherwise. I'll take it for what it is now. If anything ever comes out problematic about Maya Angelou, I don't know what I'm going to do.
That's fair. So, as we start to wrap this up, I am giving you guys a magic bean of sorts. If for not bean, maybe like a wish, better thing. If you could bring one fictional character
Good.
into this real world, who would it be?
Thor.
I'm sorry, who?
Thor. The Norse god? Yeah.
Cool.
There's no way Gilbert's gonna be like brought out into the world in order to screw it up. Absolutely effing not. He stays in his books for forever. Absolutely not.
I did not see that one coming at all.
If you could
Where
like
did you
make
begin?
a god happen,
Yeah, but I did not see that coming for you. I would have thought more. Okay. I'm so surprised because you're also not usually into like.
I feel like you don't know what my dad read to us as childhood stories. Like the original Grimm's
you
fairy tales, Norse gods, trolls, like, yeah.
All right.
The Hobbit? The Hobbit was like a very regular childhood story. So, like,
Well, Red, who would you bring in?
nobody. I wouldn't bring a fictional character out of their universe into my life.
Oh, feels a little multiverse here. Go on.
No, I mean, yes, a little bit of multiverse. Characters exist in their own worlds. They would not be the same people. They would not be the same characters we know them to be in our world. So I wouldn't change anything about the characters that I know.
I think that reminds me of like the movie Lost in Austin Land, where somehow the woman in today's time walks through and like Elizabeth Bennet comes to her time and she goes to Elizabeth's time and they swap. And like towards the end of the stuff, the movie, or I forget if it was a movie or a series, you see how Elizabeth operates in the modern times and how things go. But I could see where that, they are who they are in the time. Both the time in which the story takes place, the time in which it was written, the place where it was written, the place where the story takes place, it all is situational.
On the other side, if
Absolutely.
you can insert yourself into a storyline,
Ooh.
you would be slightly changed because, you would have to put up with like a gusset or garters, or you can move yourself into Victorian England, but like
No, thank
you're
you.
not going to be you.
Ugh.
But how am I gonna be like when what, how much am I not gonna be me, are you saying? Because that could be a problem because there are outspoken people in
You're
the
gonna have to wear like a girdle and a cone bra to insert yourself into I Love Lucy.
I know.
You're gonna have to serve your husband and darn his socks, but Lucy would be apartment B and you would be in apartment C. Like your landlord would be the Myrtles. But you would have to cook for your husband and put up with the neighbor next door who constantly tries to burn down the apartment.
I mean, I deal with cooking a lot now anyway. Okay. I don't know. I think if I'm gonna do this, I would want to go for a completely fantasy world, like something completely different that is not like time appropriate, like magic or fantasy or something completely out of the norm. I just don't know where. Oof. Or maybe our world where certain magical aspects and possibilities exist. I don't know. What about you, Red? That is so rough.
The Jetsons. I want a house that goes into the sky. I want a machine that brushes and scrubs me and cleans me and gets me ready for work without me having to interact at all. I want a machine that can just make any food whatsoever. I want a Rosie. I will go into the dumpster pile and find my own version of a snarky Rosie.
Cars
I want a car that folds up into a briefcase.
that
And
flies.
the Golden Girls. Like, if I could just live on the lanai, like, I want cheesecake and ice cream and none of the weight or diabetes consequences thereof, but I want, a Sicily 19.
1940s picture.
Picture this, like, come on, a Rosen Island just to entertain your day.
Any world that you would want to be in, Red?
So many.
She-Ra, Princess of Power.
Hell yeah, Eternia
I'm
and
just saying, like,
Etheria. Oh my
you would
goodness.
have some kind of a sword and you would have some kind of a conversion.
And a convenient moral at the end of every episode.
But here's the
And
thing, we
you
don't
could date
necessarily
He-Man,
say,
so, like, life wouldn't suck.
not necessarily she wouldn't be Shira, so she might not have a sword. You don't know
I
it.
feel like she's got it in her to get one if she's there long enough. I feel like she has the chutzpah to, like,
Actually surprised we didn't discuss Shira. My goodness. So two
That,
worlds
for
you
her, that is protected at all costs.
two worlds, Red.
Say that again.
Two worlds where you would exist in the fiction.
In Eternia or
No. Well, two fictional worlds that you feel you would want to exist in.
Etheria?
This is
Lord
here.
of the Rings.
Okay.
The evil is easily identifiable and fightable.
Not easily fightable, but a path is.
But a path is laid out for the conquering of it.
That's fair.
It's not an easy path, but it's a path nonetheless, and I think that that is attractive. And then Fringe, because it would explain so much of the strange crap that happens all the time.
Surprised you wouldn't go into Superman. That was kind of like I was putting money on
No.
If you live in the city as just a passive citizen, your odds of dying are incredible.
100%.
Let's just consider the crime rate of Gotham. Like,
Let's
let's just.
consider the insurance to own a property in Gotham or Metropolis.
Where there's constantly destruction.
You have to choose which of the supervillains you get to be protected against.
Fair.
And if on Tuesday, May 5th, you're walking to work and you see your apartment building get hit by, I don't know, Zod. And you're not covered against Zod. Guess what? Poverty. No,
I
thank you.
Reason for being homeless? Zod.
Alien invasion,
How
that
do you
guy.
fill that out on a displacement form? Reason you need to move into the shelter for the 18th time this month? Zod.
Because our city is a center for paranormal activity. Because I live in Sunnydale, damn
Correct.
it.
Like, I mean, Murder, She Wrote. Everywhere that woman goes, crime follows.
People
You see her
die.
check into the hotel, you run.
Just no.
Consume no beverages, smoke no cigarettes, eat no dinners.
So that is going to be a wrap on today's episode. If you enjoyed it, subscribe, leave a review, or at least text your group chat about your fictional soulmates.
Want to hear more? Join us on Patreon for extra spirals, exclusive content, and chaotic bonus episodes like Sense After Dark.
Until next time, stay sensible.
Or embrace the chaos.
Preferably both.